Turn with us to the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, please. 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start at verse number 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wife. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, he was binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave rose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheave." And his brethren said to him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. And his brethren went to feed their flocks, their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, "Here am I." And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flock, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" He said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed thence, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." Let us pray. Father, I do thank you again today for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for what you've done already today. Thank you, Lord, you've brought folk that's been traveling home to us. You've kept them safe. You've brought them back. Now, Lord, we certainly want to thank you tonight for the Word of God and what you're going to do. We just pray, Lord, as this preacher preaches, I just need your power. I need your wisdom. I ask you, Father, to do the will of God tonight in each of our hearts. And I'll thank and praise you for it. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It was some time ago, and I believe probably 3, 4, 5 months ago, I preached a message on Joseph, which I entitled "The Purity of Joseph." Tonight, I'm going to preach a message on the privileges of purity. There's privileges that go along with purity. And we're going to talk about that tonight, but I want to get a little background first of all and let help us to understand where we're at. In, you know, chapter 37 through chapter 50 of the book of Genesis, there's a lot written about the life of Joseph. Those chapters cover that. I realize chapter 38 kind of deviates away from Joseph and talks about Judah, but most of them chapters are concerning Joseph. And so we know quite a bit about him, and I think it was very necessary that we know about Joseph and his life, because we could not understand the book of Exodus if we did not have that story in the book of Genesis about Joseph. You know, we would not know how it was that they got down to Egypt, the Israelites. We would not have known that unless we had the story of Joseph. We would not have even understood why they stayed so long in Egypt after they got there unless we had and understood the story of Joseph. We would not have understood when it is said persecution arose when a king arose who knew not Joseph. We would not have understood that, as if we find that in the book of Exodus, the very first chapter. We also wouldn't have understood why Manasseh and Ephraim were given the status of tribes when they were not Jacob's sons. They were his grandsons. But all of that is explained and given to us in the story of Joseph. When I look at Joseph, I see a very wonderful example of how to serve God in troubled times. If you will look at the story of Joseph, I want to tell you, his life was not an easy one. And yet we find him faithfully serving God through all of those years and difficulties that he had to face. So the story of Joseph, and I believe it does, I believe it exalts Jesus Christ. Anything that exalts Jesus Christ, I'm for. Amen? And you look at his life and his story, and certainly he's a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see so many similarities. We see him being sold for 20 pieces of silver. Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver. We see him cast into a pit, and to some degree, I believe that was presenting as the place of death. We see him taken out of that pit, and we see a picture of the resurrection and things like that. But you can find so many wonderful things in the story of Joseph. And so anyway, we want to kind of look at Joseph for a little while this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening, whatever it is. But anyway, we find out in the second verse, isn't it good to see the preacher mess up? I mean, you know, he, amen. I want to tell you, if you've been through what I've been through today, you'd mess up too, amen? But anyway, so second verse, you're going to find that Joseph was 17 years old. How many is 17? Any of you 17 here tonight? Look here. Okay, Amanda, Nathan, anybody else? 17. Oh, yeah, back here, there's Bethany and Sarah, 17, and Elizabeth, 17. That's the age that Joseph was. Kind of says something, don't it? Some of you are 18, some of you probably 16, and right around that area. But Joseph was 17 years of age. And what I want to share with you is this. You look at Joseph's life and you see that his character, of the type of person that he was, basically, was already formed. And I believe with all my heart that's true today. I believe as young age you begin to form that character, the kind of an individual, the kind of a person you're going to be for the rest of your life. That does not mean you cannot change. It does not mean that God can do things, wonderful things for you. But there's a lot of things developed in a very early age in individuals. You know, the word character, it just means an individual's pattern of behavior. It means his moral constitution, its moral strength, his self-discipline, his fortitude, traits or qualities of a person. That's what character means. And Joseph had a tremendous character about him that we're going to look at here for a few moments. He was a wonderful, wonderful young man at 17 years of age. We're not trying to lift him up. We're not trying to say that he was greater than other people in the Bible. I'm just simply saying Joseph was a fine young man. I'd like to insert something here. The other children of Jacob were anything but spiritual. And I'll share that with you in a minute. They'd done some very wicked, wicked things. I would just like to say, in thinking about this, Rachel was the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. And I think we can look at Rachel and say, you've done a great job with Joseph. You know, I know Jacob was there, and I know Jacob was responsible. I'm just going to simply, why the great difference between a Joseph and the rest of the brethren? And there was a great difference. So I really believe that you're looking at a situation where Rachel took over and done much of the work of helping to form the character of Joseph in early years. That's just something I wanted to share with you, you see. Listen, folks, to not expect young people to do right and to be spiritual and to walk right is wrong. See, you don't have to be old and retired to have convictions. You ought to get them at a very, very early age. You ought to know where is the right places to go and where it isn't right to go. Amen? You ought to establish that early in life. You ought to establish the kind of talk you're going to let come out of your mouth. The kind of thoughts that run through your mind. It's going to have to be established, and it should be established early in life. Pastor mentions these things once in a while. Hopefully, it stirs your heart. All I'm saying to you is if you're going to put garbage in this thing, garbage is going to come out. Now, if you're going to sit around on the internet and watch all the filth, that's what'll be in your mind. Moms and dads, get your children off the internet. Get them off of it. Don't allow them to be on it. Unless you're controlling it. Unless you have control completely over it. Amen? So I'm just simply saying to you, what goes in here is going to come out. It can't help it but do that. So Joseph was a young man who had convictions. I believe we ought to have convictions. I believe we ought to have dress convictions. I was last night, I was called by a young man. He used to attend this church many, many, many years ago, way back there. He even went to our school for a little while. And he called me last night. He also called me this morning, again, before services. And here's what he wanted to say. He said, Pastor, he said, back when I was here, he said, a lot of the stuff that you taught, I thought was a bunch of baloney. And I didn't do good. I wasn't a good boy. But he said, all of that has changed. I've completely and fully given my heart to Christ. And he says, oh, I think I was saved back there, but I wasn't doing what God wanted. And he said, I just want you to know something. I'm changing our dress habits in my family. He said, I'm just changing them. He said, it's not popular. He said, people don't like me for it. But I'm making a change. And I'm going to do it because it's right. It's proper. He said, what you taught way back there years ago was right. And he said, so I'm following those principles. They're Bible principles. That's what he said. It's from the Bible. It's the Word of God, and I believe them. So I'm changing some things in my life and in my family's life. That's proper. That's right. Now, let me say something to you. It would be much easier to establish them at an early age. For the children he has and the family he has now, to go back now and try to correct all of those things, which he's going to do, but is going to be some difficulty to it. It's much better to establish it early in age. Amen? So it's better to establish your young people in all of these things and character traits that ought to be established in their life at an early age, like Joseph's was. I believe also those are times when we ought to establish who is going to be our friends. Who are we going to run with? I don't have to spend a lot of time on that. You've heard the preacher preach. You've heard other preachers preach about that. But it does matter who is our friends. It does matter who you're going to run with, who you're going to hang with, because that's what you basically, to much degree, is going to become. Okay? So you need to establish some habits concerning that. And let me say also the actions we do and the habits we have in life ought to be established early, and they ought to be established in a godly manner. Concerning the Word of God, what the Bible says about life, about the Christian life. Well, Joseph was that kind of a person. Joseph was a young man who established some wonderful traits in his life as he was young, only 17 years of age at this point. I believe something. The earlier one begins to live for God, the less scars that's going to be on your life. Young people, you hear your parents, you hear them, you hear the preacher, we talk to you, we preach to you. It's not we're mad at you. It's not we're trying to get on you. We're trying to get you to establish a good, solid Christian life early in years. It's what you need. You need to do it early, and it'll be less the scars you'll have upon your life. Amen? So listen to your parents and listen to those spiritual people who help you, your Sunday school teachers and your preachers and the deacons and people around here. There'll be a good established people who will help you go right. Listen to them, because they've been down the road. They know what they're talking about. Amen. So we find here, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but prior to chapter 37, you see some other times in the life of Joseph. You see when he was born and other times. I think there's actually, and I'm not going to go over them, but I think there's actually four different times in the Bible before chapter 37 that Joseph is mentioned. We see also some things that happened in Joseph's life. We see him, and he was alive at the time when Jacob fled from Laban, and he hurriedly fled from him. He was alive when Simeon and Levi did that horrible thing there at Shechem. He was alive when they came back and was going to come back home, and there was Esau. They were scared to death. They thought Esau was going to kill them all. Now, the reason I'm simply mentioning these times in his life, that's preparation for service. Don't ever discount the things that's happening in your life as young people. God is building things. He's preparing things. He's preparing your life. He's getting you ready for service. And sometimes those things are difficult and hard. They're not always easy. But God is putting those things in your life to prepare you. And that's exactly what he was doing with Joseph. Joseph had a lot of tough things ahead of him, and he needed to be prepared. And he put some strength in Joseph. So we find that Joseph was a pure young man. He lived godly. He walked with his God. If you'll notice in verse 2, and I might just go back, that's chapter 37, verse 2. It says, "And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with his sons of Bilhah." You know what I want to point out there is, Joseph, at an early age, what was he doing? Feeding the flock. He was busy. He was working. Now, I know Pastor Ross talks about these things, and I want to make mention of you to you, but I want to tell you something, folks. Get your young people to stay busy. Get them busy doing things, being busy, be responsible young men, you see. Joseph was that type of young man. Was he not busy? Was he not out feeding the flock? Wasn't he out doing things? He wasn't worrying about getting out of work. He was worrying about doing what God, what his daddy wanted him to do. Amen? So one of the things that I just want to encourage you about is that he worked. Not only that, we find that he brought a report to his daddy concerning the evil deeds of his brethren. Oh, you say he was a tattletale. No, I don't think he was a tattletale. I'm going to show you why I do not think he was a tattletale. He was giving and bringing a report. And let me say to you, this was not surprising. Reuben, one of the brethren, had committed incest with one of his father's wives. I told you these wasn't very good sons. Simeon and Levi were guilty of a brutal, bloody slaughter at Shechem. Judah had a child by his own daughter-in-law after death of his son. He didn't know it was her. He thought it was a harlot. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just simply saying to you, folks, these were not good people. They were not living good lives. And then they all gathered together to sell Joseph into slavery. So when he brought that evil report about his brethren, it was not, I'm sure, any surprise to Jacob whatsoever. Now, I ask you a question. You say, "Brother Ross, I don't want to be a talebearer. I don't want to be a tattletale. I don't think he was a tattletale, and I'll tell you why. You know who he brought that to? The one that could do something about it. He brought it to his father. He brought it to the one who was in authority. His father could do something about it. He didn't go out spreading it. He just brought the truth to his father, and that's what he spoke. Do you know talebearers, if they stick with the truth, won't have much to say? Just mark it down. Gossips and talebearers, if they'll just stick with the truth, they don't really have a whole lot to say. Joseph didn't say a whole lot here. He just told the truth. He told his daddy the truth. Now, why did he speak? I believe he was obligated to the authority over him. I believe he was obligated to his father to bring this report. Now, young men, young ladies, there'll be times when you say, well, I don't want to be a tattletale. Well, I don't think you ought to run around being a tattletale. But I think if there's something wicked going on, you ought to report it to the authorities who can do something about it, and that's the only one you ought to tell. I've had people in the church here over the years have come to me and said, Pastor Ross, this or that is going on. I just want you to know it. I'm not talking about it. I'm not telling anybody. But they've reported it to me, and I thanked them from the bottom of my heart and said, thank you so much. Because if I don't know what's going on, I can't do a thing about it. Now, this morning I talked about the responsibility of if a person has an ought against another person, who do you go to? You go to that person. But you've got to protect the church. When there's foolishness going on, you need to not go to everybody else, but you need to come to this pastor and report it and let me handle it. Amen? It's right and proper. How do I know that foolishness is going on in the church if I don't get some help sometime? It's not a thing to go out and murmur about. It's not a thing to go out and spread, but it's a thing that needs to be stopped, and it needs to be stopped. Joseph brought the evil report to his daddy. You see, and you know why? I believe it because Joseph himself despised evil. Joseph was a young man who was a pure young man, and he did not like the evil that was going on in the lives of his brethren. I believe, again, that is proper. I'm going to go over with you. You hold your place in Genesis, but over 1 Corinthians, please, the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'll just read one verse of scripture, 11th verse, first chapter. For it hath been declared, that's in the 11th verse, first chapter, first Corinthians, for it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Shiloh, that they are contentions among you. Now he said, now this I say, that every one of you has said, I am of Paul, and I am Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He was simply reporting, this house of Shiloh was reporting to Paul, there was some contentions. They was arguing over who they were of. And it goes on, but I'm just simply saying to you, there's things that need to be stopped. It should not be contention. In the house of God. Should not be. It needs to be straightened out. It needs to be taken care of. Amen. So you need to help us to guard the place. I'm not talking about being a little tattletale or a little gossip, carrying every little thing that goes on. I'm saying if there's contention, if there's problems in the house of God, we need to know about that so we can correct them. Amen. And do it so hopefully in a loving, wonderful way to correct that person and bring them to repentance. Amen. That's what we would want. Amen. That would be scriptural. That would be right. For that to happen. So I don't believe it was tattletaling. I believe it was simply something. It was a report that he brought to help his father, and he brought it to the right person, you see. And not only that, I want you to notice that I believe this report showed something about Joseph that is very, very important. Over in the 49th chapter of Genesis, I'm not going to go there, but it says he separated from his brethren. All it basically means is he's different than his brethren. He was a young man that loved God and was going to walk with the Lord. He was separated. I want to tell you something, young people. I believe older people need to too, but young people need to understand this. You need to learn to stand alone. You need to learn to do right when no one else is doing right.
Amen.
Matter what everybody else does. You need to learn to stand alone. You're going to need that for the rest of your life. Because all of the peer pressure that comes along, you see, and it is there. But you're going to have to learn it's not what your peers do, but it's what you do and what you've determined and how you're going to live for God and what you're going to do in life. You're going to have to learn to stand alone, because you're going to find sometimes they're not going to stand with you. Most of the time, they're not going to stand with you. Some of you young people getting ready to go to college. Now listen to me. I think Bible college is a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find in Bible college, you're going to find some people that don't walk the same way you walk. And you're going to have to stand. You're not going to have to yield to their way of doing things. The young ladies that's going to Bible college, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get up here and you're going to find some of them don't dress like you do here. Is that going to change you? Are you going to put on the tight skirts and the short skirts and the slits and all of those things and show yourself because everybody else is doing it? Or are you just going to walk with God? The young men going to Bible college, you're going to find out there's going to be those up there that have a looser life than you do. They're not taught the same way you've been taught. You're just going to have to continue to stand by yourself and walk with God. Amen. That's what Joseph did. Joseph just simply stood by himself. He separated from his brethren. He was different from them. He done things different. That's what you've got to learn to do, young people. All you young people, you're going to have to learn to stand up for what is right, no matter what everybody else does. See, don't make a difference what anybody else does. You're going to have to stand for right, or you're going to fall with those whom you're going to run around with. You're going to become what they are. Understand? So you've got to learn that, you see. And what you've got to learn is this. The Word of God determines your standard of life. Amen. Not what seems good or what other people are doing. The Word of God determines the way you're going to walk and live. Amen? So Joseph was a pure man. I finally got around to the privileges of Joseph. Well, I want to tell you something. Purity always brings blessings. Amen. Always do. There's two things that's pictured here, and I don't know whether we'll get them all or not, but the coat was a blessing. The dreams were blessings from God. They was revelations from God Almighty. And I remember back, I was just thinking about that. You remember, of course, we all know Carolyn Fry. Remember, they was here at our church, and they moved down in there in Illinois somewhere, around there somewhere, and moved away from here. But I still remember I was sitting in the hospital with her and Jack, and when she was being operated, getting ready to be operated on, and the doctor came out and said, you know, and said everything. And in fact, she had open heart surgery. He said, you know, here she was, and I don't want to even mention her age. I'm not sure what it was, but she was up there a few years. And he said, you know, he said, she done so well. He said, one of the things was, he said, her heart was in just good shape. And Jack said, well, she never drank, never smoked, always took care of herself. That's why her heart was in good shape. Purity helps. Amen. Purity helps. Amen. That's what he said. He said, boy, her heart was such in good shape. And there were some problems in there they had to take care of, but she was in good shape. Why? Because she had lived a pure life. He said, oh, he even said, he told Jack, he said, you can't believe some of the hearts I see when I open them up. You can't believe the condition of some of them, he said. And he said, they've smoked, they've drank, they've just done all of those things, and it's just made their heart, their bodies a mess. But he said, hers wasn't that away. Amen. So we find the coat that Jacob gave his son Joseph was a blessing. It was a long-sleeved, like a coat tunic, or a robe that reached down to his ankles. And it signified rank. It signified an overseer and a master. Now, usually, the older son got that. But because of his purity, I believe Daddy gave it to Joseph, because Joseph was such a fine young man and walked with God and loved God. And he got this coat. It was given to him, you see. And as I said, the firstborn usually got that. He was referred to in verse 3 as the son of old age. That's a phrase, though, that means also a wise son. It's a wonderful thing to be a wise son. Amen. Joseph was a wise son. I know he was the son of his old age, but there's also a Hebrew phrase that speaks about that it means also that he was wise. He was a wise son. It's one of the reasons he got the coat. One man said this about Joseph, said he had a gray head on green shoulders. Amen. I mean, he had wisdom, and gray hair speaks of wisdom. When it walks in righteousness, let me just say to you folks, and when it talks about the old man and all of these, and there is great, great, wonderful things about age, and the gray hair denotes wisdom. Thank God we've got some gray heads. It may not be actually gray, but in age, we need that, because that's wisdom. Young men have their strength, and the old men have their wisdom. Amen. That's why when we go out to work, that's why the young men are supposed to lift and the old men are standing there telling you what to do. Now, men, is that good preaching? I mean, amen. Hey, amen. See, because they got wisdom, you see. And young men have their strength, but there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, I'm saying that, I'm kind of making a joke of it. That's truth. See, the wisdom that men have as they growed and they've learned and they've walked with God, they have wisdom that young men don't have, can't have. It's impossible for them to have. And I see sometimes, of course, young men who are growing who has wisdom past their years. Sometimes young men has great wisdom past their years. Amen. Joseph was a wise young man. And listen to me, you need that. In the decisions of life, you need that when you get out there in life and you decide things and you make decisions for the rest of your life. You need that wisdom. We need that wisdom in the church. Amen. We need that. We've got to have it. Amen. And then, of course, the Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How do you get that wisdom? You just all at once acquire it? It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't even have the beginning of true wisdom without the fear of God. You may think you have wisdom, but if you don't fear God, you don't have the very beginning of wisdom. That's what God says. God's word says. Amen. Says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Do you hate evil? Do you despise evil? Said the fear of the Lord does that. Hates evil, despises evil. And that was what Joseph was. Joseph was a young man who hated evil. Did not walk in the ways of evil, you see, because he feared the Lord. Now his brothers, I don't know a whole lot about his brothers. You can read some things in the word about them. But they may have had talent and seniority. But they didn't have character. You could be really talented. You can be really popular. You can have seniority. If you don't have character, you don't have much. Now, the world may think you've got a lot, but you don't. See, it takes character to walk in this world. Amen. It takes character to walk the way God wants us to walk in this world. See, I really believe this. I talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning. Kind of talked to the both adult classes this morning. Talked to them about the church and some things. And anyway, I believe with all of my heart. I believe a lot of problems in church would be alleviated if we would appoint leadership scripturally. Amen. If you'd appoint people with honest report. They was honest people. They didn't cheat anybody. Full of the Holy Ghost of God. Filled with the Spirit. Full of wisdom. The only way you're going to be full of wisdom is God give you that wisdom. You're not going to be getting wisdom if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. See, that would settle a whole lot of church problems. It would keep the wrong kind of people out of leadership. You say, well, what do you do with them? You help to build them. If they're not there yet, you try to build them. You try to help them. But they're not ready for leadership. They're not ready for leadership unless they're honest, good, honest report. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Full of wisdom. Now, that's what God said. It's what His Word said. You believe it? You believe God is right? Sure. Are those folk important? Sure, they're important. You build them, you work with them, you try to bring them up, and you try to get them to be more like Jesus and get them to the place where you can use them in certain positions. You try to use everybody in certain situations, but you can't put people in leadership that's not ready for leadership. Amen? Can't do that. No. See, Joseph was a young man here who was ready. Even though at an early age, he was ready to do what God wanted him to do. We find the dreams that he had was revelations from God. I don't know about you and dreams. I remember back years and years and years ago, I remember this young girl came to our house, Don and I's house, and we had worked with his family. It was in this area, general area. We'd worked with this family for a long, long time, and she finally, we'd try to get them in church, try to keep them in church, and they'd tell us they're saved, yeah, and all this. This young girl came to our house one day scared to death over a dream that she had had. Scared to death, run to the preacher. Scared to death over some dream. It was a foolish dream, a silly dream, and she thought it really meant something. And yet we couldn't get her to love the Word of God and get scared because she wasn't walking with God, but scared over a dream. I don't know how many dreams you have, but I have some silly ones. I'm going to tell myself I have this reoccurring dream. I really do. I got this reoccurring dream, and it's always I'm hunting for my Bible. I'm serious. I'm getting ready to preach and I can't find my Bible. And one time I remember the dream so vividly. I was hunting Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and there's a whole bunch of just different names up there at the top. It's the silliest thing you've ever seen. I was scared to death. I was standing ready to preach and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find my text. Sometimes I can't find the church where I'm supposed to go preach at. That's truth. God's truth. I'm hunting all over the place. I look at my watch. I'm always want to be on time. I look at my watch and it's 10 after 7 and I'm supposed to be preaching and I can't find it. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's serious business. But I will tell you, I have those, that comes back to me quite often. The other night, I had that thing again. And Bobby had his van, only it was a black van, Bobby. It wasn't white, it was black. And he had my white shirt in it. And I was getting ready to go to church and preach. And I started looking for his van, and he had taken off with it or somewhere, and I couldn't find his van. And all I had on was an old work shirt. So I put this old coat on and went into this place, and everybody was looking around at me. I couldn't find that shirt that I'm always looking for something. It's crazy, see. It really is. But I really felt bad about that until Dr. Sheldon Smith showed up here, editor of the Sword of the Lord. He said, Brother Ross, I have them same dreams. God's truth. He said, I'm always hunting something. I can't find it. I can't get to the church. I can't find my Bible. I said, praise God, you're my brother. If he can do it, I can do it. But I really do. I have some silly dreams. Amen. If you want to hear some of them, no, I don't. You don't want to hear them. But I have some silly dreams. But I got a feeling. I got a feeling it's something I eat. I don't really think it has any meaning to it. This young lady came. She was scared to death because she'd had this dream that didn't turn out right, didn't turn out good. Scared to death. Folks, listen. This wasn't that kind of dreams that Joseph had. Joseph had dreams that came from God. And you know how I know they did? Because they all come to pass just exactly as he dreamed them, about the sheath out in the field. And he was binding his sheaf, and that one stood up straight, and the other 11 bowed down to his. Well, that happened. You know that happened. You see, they came and bowed down wanting food there in Egypt. And the cattle, the thin cattle and the fat cattle. You see, the fat cattle was the good years, 7 of them, and the thin cattle was the 7 thin cattle, and they was the bad years, and he's going to have this famine. You understand what I'm saying? These came to pass. This was not a pizza dream. This was a dream that would come from God. And it was a revelation of the Lord. And so we find, and I've got to quit soon here, but we find that Joseph's daddy sent him over to check on his brethren. Said to check his brethren out. Wanted to know about him and where they was. They must have been gone for quite a while. They was feeding the flock. And they'd went a good little distance away. And so Jacob said to Joseph, why don't you go check on your brother? When I look at that, I see a servant. If he ended up over in Dothan, about 60 miles, he didn't mind to go to the sacrifice. Go check on his brethren. You know, sometimes you got to go out your way to do the will of God. Sometimes you got to answer and go to the Dominican Republic when God calls. Joseph was a young man because his father told him to go check on the brethren. He did it. And folks, there are going to be some times when God's going to choose some of these young people, some of these maybe even adults, and say, I want you to go do something. The Heavenly Father is going to pull you out and say, I want you to go do something for me. Oh, I'm sorry, Father, it's 2:04. Got other things to do. No, Joseph just said, here am I. That's what he said. Here am I, Father. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Didn't seem like a big task, just go hunt the brethren. But he went. I'm saying to you, when God calls, say, here am I. Where you want me to go, Father, may not be too far. Or it might be quite a distance. It might be someone may one of these days go down in Dominican Republic and help Luke and Hannah. Who knows? It might be. Wouldn't that be something? Amen. Are you willing? Are you saying, here am I? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Just send me. Amen. And he like I say, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but if you look at that wonderful story, he was willing to go. He was willing to do that what the Father said to do. Amen. If you follow that story out, you find he wore his coat. It set him apart. They looked out and they said, here comes that dreamer. They saw him from a long way off. You know why? Because he had his coat on. People ought to recognize Christians from a long way off. They got their robe of righteousness on. It ought to be very evident between a Christian and a non-Christian in this old world today. Amen. You ought to have your coat on. Joseph had his on. It's what made his brothers mad. You read all of that, they hated him because of the coat and his dreams and all of those things. But I'm just saying, young people, adults, just keep your coat on. Just keep it on. Keep minding the Father. Doing what the Father says. There isn't anywhere too far if the Father wants you to go. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again thanking you today for the precious Word of God, your wonderful love for us. Thank you for the story of Joseph. What a great example, Lord, to help us to be more like you. Once again, I pray for the young people of this church. Help them always to be willing to say, here am I. And also for every adult in this place. Oh God, there's things even this week that you have for us to do. You've appointed it. You want us to step out. And Lord, we can't do it without you. But Lord, help us to always hear you and be willing to say, here am I, going forth to do what the Father said. Now, Lord, tonight, if there's anyone here that has never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they cannot say, I'm here tonight, and if I died, I know for sure, 100% sure, I'd go to heaven. If they don't know that, Lord, at the invitation, help them to just be willing to step forward, to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be born again. Your will done in this invitation. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.